Call from mom. Answer it. Call silenced.
Instacart knows nothing gets between you and the game. That's why they make ordering from your couch easy. Stock up today and get all your groceries for the week delivered in as fast as 30 minutes without missing a minute of the game.
You have 47 new voicemails.
Download the app to get free delivery on your first three orders while supplies last. Minimum $10 per order. Additional terms apply.
I want you to know that the mothership has landed.
It's DA on CBS Sports Radio.
What's up, my brother? I want permission to come aboard the mothership.
Asking permission to join a sports talk spaceship? Well, we're all a little crazy. The mothership has connected.
Man, I'm feeling great.
I'm doing great.
Happy Thursday to you, boys and girls. One question only. How do you feel?
Well, I feel good and I'm doing well.
That's all that really matters. And we come to you live for the Rocket Mortgage by Quicken Loan Studio. Rocket Mortgage with you every step of the way to provide a seamless mortgage experience. Coming up this hour on the show, will anything make Zach Greinke excited? Like winning a World Series, perhaps? But first, Dabo Swinney. It's very difficult to challenge anything Dabo has done in building Clemson from just another program to the powerhouse in college football. Dabo's force of persona, his cult of personality, his charisma, his enthusiasm, and of course, his coaching, his X's and O's, has been, without a shadow of a doubt, impeccable. You know, what Dabo has done has been pretty remarkable. That was not a blue blood college football program. It had potential, but it had the type of potential where you would say they can compete and win the ACC, be the power of the ACC, but you would not put Clemson on the level of a USC, of an Alabama, of a Michigan, of a Texas, of an Ohio State, that you just knew was, as long as you got it in the right direction, it was going to be a locomotive. That was not in play. And now there's a bit of a revisionist history of, well, of course. I mean, good recruiting area, winnable football conference, passionate fan base, a solid history, yes, but Clemson's history, again, was not of the blue bloods of college football. Dabo built this brick by brick, and it began by reinventing what it meant to be a Clemson Tiger. His recruiting was phenomenal, and he began by putting the pieces in place at skill positions where those guys were dynamic, could push the program to the next level, could start competing in the ACC for ACC championships regularly, and that would build on itself. Begins with the Taj Boyds, the CJ Spillers, DeAndre Hopkins, into Deshaun Watson, into now recruiting an entire defensive line that are potential first-round draft picks in the NFL, the Cleveland Farrells, the Dexter Lawrences, to now Trevor Lawrence, who is perhaps the most sought-after quarterback prospect since Peyton Manning, certainly since Andrew Luck. And there is just crazy NFL talent at every position. Sammy Watkins was in there as well. And brick by brick, Dabo said, the term Clemsoning, which was always used as a criticism, is going to be a compliment. And he made it a place to go. Whether it's the slide, it's the having fun, it's the winning, it's the Dabo, it's the national TV, it's the Rock, it's the Paul, whatever it is, his little acronyms, his little sayings, his little slogans, whatever it is, he has made it a thing. He has made it a program. He has made it the cool program. And so I have nothing but respect for his process to get here. But I do believe Dabo Swinney's being petty with the Kelly Bryant situation. Dabo said yesterday he's made the decision not to send Kelly Bryant a national championship ring. Kelly Bryant was the starting quarterback after Deshaun Watson. Kelly Bryant helped them to a playoff 2 years ago. Kelly Bryant began the season the starting quarterback last year for the Tigers. And Kelly Bryant, when he was demoted and they wanted Trevor Lawrence to start, said, okay, then I'm out of here. And Kelly Bryant is now transferred to Missouri. Dabo said, quote, he wasn't on the team. You've got to be on the team to get a ring. I love Kelly and appreciate what he did for us, but he decided to move on. Now, at the time that Kelly Bryant was demoted for Trevor Lawrence, which ended up very good for Clemson, it was the right decision, Kelly was very upset. He said, this is a slap in the face. And Dabo said he has not spoken to Kelly Bryant since Kelly left Clemson. Dabo said, hopefully we'll be able to visit and sit down and have a good conversation. He's focused on what he's trying to do. We wish him the best. Now, I understand that Dabo felt burned by Kelly Bryant because if Trevor Lawrence was injured or Trevor Lawrence looked like a true freshman, having Kelly there and maybe even having a package of plays for Kelly Bryant would have been best case scenario for that program. I understand Dabo feeling burned. I understand Dabo feeling like Kelly Bryant turned his back on the team. I understand Dabo Swinney feeling like, why would I reward a quote-unquote quitter? I understand that emotion. But here's where I differ with Dabo. I think Dabo, by being the head coach of the program, the face of the program, and being a quote-unquote player's coach, not to say he can't be hard on guys, needs to be the bigger person here. It wasn't like Kelly Bryant quit with his job. He quit when he lost his job. And you might say, well, DA, he's supposed to be there to compete. Kelly should have taken that demotion and worked harder. He was part of the team. He turned his back on the team. And again, I understand that reaction to it emotionally. But for Dabo, what's the win here? In my mind, his win is, I'm not going to reward a quitter because I want to make a point that you've got to be all in on this program. I think he's sending a message to his guys. He's sending a message to his program. The guys in that locker room, don't quit because then you're against us. You're not for us. And I think he wants to make this bunker mentality a thing. I think he's got to be bigger than that because I think the bigger picture is you don't want to come off looking small. Because you've got to recruit kids for the next 15 years. Dabo can do this forever. Dabo can make this thing run forever. It's not about that locker room right now. It's about every other quarterback that comes through there. I'm not saying give that every other quarterback the belief that, hey, if I lose my job, I'm going to quit and I can still get a national championship ring. I think this is a very specific, particular spot that there's no need to make an example out of. I think for Dabo, the win is Kelly Bryant was great for our program. He helped bridge the gap between Deshaun Watson and Trevor Lawrence. He was our starting quarterback for an entire year when it was not easy to fill in for Deshaun. He got us to a college football playoff. He helped win 4 games in our national championship season. You know what? He gets a ring. Because at that point, it's not a story. Nobody at that point goes, how could you possibly reward a quitter? No, you're being a big man. You're being the bigger man. You're rewarding a player that contributed to your franchise, your program. Nobody there is going to say, don't give him a ring and rip Dabo. But by making an example out of it, you can look small. You can look petty. I know that there's always this backlash against this era of participation trophies. And there are elements of that that I agree with. There are elements of that attitude that I am in lockstep with. I think we have nurtured a generation of kids that we are really scared to make upset. I think we're really worried about making them mad or sad or upset because we're more sensitive, we're more compassionate. In doing so, we've definitely gone too far at times. And snowplow parents that clear the way for everything so that there's nothing to resist for their child in an effort to make their child's life better actually are hurting them to understand the pitfalls of life, challenges, overcoming challenges, working through things. There's an element of this participation trophy backlash that I get. And I understand, and I relate to. But in this case, I don't think this is a quote-unquote participation trophy. I don't think you are rewarding Kelly Bryant for quitting. He was part of a team that won a national championship. Like it or not, he played four games. He started four games. They won those four games. I think the bigger person, the bigger win here is we thank you for that. We wish you the best. 855-212-4CBS. 855-212-4227. On Twitter, DA on CBS. Kirk Cousins is a little worried about the slippery ball that gets snapped to him from his rookie center, Garrett Bradbury. He says it's a little sweaty. The Silver Fox tweets, maybe the Viking center would benefit from some antiperspirant, perhaps some ball deodorant. Daniel tweets, let's hope Kirk Cousins' center uses ball deodorant. Hemsky in Tucson tweets, DA sounds like the new Viking center needs something like hashtag ball deodorant. Dixie Landan tweets, okay, DA, who would you rather take a snap from under center? Peter Schwartz.
My baby daddy, Peter Schwartz.
Having chased down 8 foul balls in a humid July night, huge freeze after ingesting 2 pounds of death by salsa, or Mraz after jogging on a treadmill in a sauna for 45 minutes, chasing a hot dog on a stick.
I'll drop dead! I will drop dead without those burritos!
My number one is Mraz. I am closest with Mraz. Mraz is a close friend of mine. Mraz does the most athletic things out of those three. Mraz regularly goes to the gym. Whether it's effective or not, we don't know, but he regularly goes to the gym. He does play in a flag football league. I trust Mraz, and he's not a super sweaty guy. For a big guy, he's not super sweaty.
I got good glands.
Solid glands. So I'm going to draft Mraz number one. I think I go Robbie two there. Well, this is tough because of the 2 pounds of death by salsa. That worries me.
I'd run into traffic after that.
So are you, Bilotti, you drafting Mraz one there?
Of course, yes.
Okay. And then, so you're going to go Schwartz two after Schwartz chases down 8 foul balls in a humid July night of the Long Island Ducks?
No, Schwartz is three.
Okay, so you're going Robbie two as well.
I'll go Robbie two. Then run into traffic.
I think Robbie's got to be three there.
You think?
I do, because that death by salsa could create all sorts of situations. You would think by now, although he's getting foul balls, how fast is Schwartz moving to break a sweat on those chase of those foul balls? And also, he's getting foul balls in places where it's basically him and his kids are the only ones in the park. So I don't think they're really working as hard as we think for them.
If Robbie is not on 2 pounds of death by salsa, is he the number two pick in your mind?
Yes, probably. But
so it's the death by salsa that hurts him here.
Well, it's a combo of things. You still don't want to have the situation with Robbie, but you're putting, I mean, that's like putting diesel into a car that's only ever had unleaded. You don't do that. That's waiting for a problem. You're going to blow out your engine there. It's going to blow out your face.
You're going to blow out your face.
So it'll take weeks to recover.
So it's just going to, like, flames melting somebody's face until just the skull is
gone. Let me tell you something. He eats 2 pounds of death by salsa, and you trail him after a day like that, you're going to need to see Dr. James Andrews.
Yeah. A different Tommy John.
Yes.
The other John. Tommy hitting the John. Tommy, Johnny on the spot.
How many shifts at Bloomberg has he called out sick to already?
I don't know. I still go Robbie 2 here. But it's... The death by salsa does make this a very dangerous decision by me. It could burn my face off. When we come back here on the show... Yeah, the show moves on. Yeah, there's more after that. Will anything make Zach Greinke excited to be an Astro? DA, CBS Sports Radio.
This is CBS.
It's the DA Show on CBS Sports Radio.
And a happy Thursday to you, everybody. DA with you here on CBS Sports Radio every single day, 9 until noon Eastern Time, 6 until 9 Pacific. And the DA Show is available on your phone. Stream us using the radio.com app, using the CBS Sports app, or Apple Music, or other places that radio stations are streamed. So, I don't know if there's ever going to be anything that really fires up Zach Greinke. I'd like to think that Greinke is going to be excited as his team enters into the postseason, because we know the Houston Astros are going to be in the playoffs. And we know that the Houston Astros perhaps are the best team in Major League Baseball. I know that the Dodgers have had an unbelievable season. But to me, top to bottom, starting pitching to bullpen, lineup 1 through 9, the Astros are the better team than the Dodgers. Now, after the addition of Zach Greinke, you got to think, Greinke goes from an Arizona Diamondbacks team that was dead in the water to joining perhaps the best team in baseball and a team that just won a World Series, and Greinke has never done that. That Greinke is going to be fired up, right? Oh, well, you don't know Zach Greinke. You don't know Zach Greinke. In his first start for the Astros the other day, wasn't great. 6 innings pitched. Gave up 7 hits, 5 runs, only struck out 2. His ERA jumped, but it was okay because the Astros still got the win, beating Colorado 11-6. Their offense has been amazing. It was tight in the latter innings, but then the Astros broke it open. However, how about Greinke as the Astros put up 11 runs on the board? Greinke wasn't all that thrilled. Said, quote, "Yeah, it's kind of boring. And just trying to stay loose, stay focused. It's hard when you don't have anything to do."
Yeah, it was a big crowd. My family had a good time.
The best part of that, Zach Greinke said it was kind of fun to pitch. He said, "I was telling my teammates, it kind of reminds me when I was back in Milwaukee, and it seemed like we scored like 10 like runs a game. It's fun to pitch with that going on." Yeah, you can tell, Zach. You sound really, really thrilled.
Happy to be here, Houston.
That's Greinke having fun. Zach Greinke is one of the most amazing pitching robots we have. Nothing, I mean nothing, seems to ever get him happy or sad. There's no emotion in there. And think about the teams he has pitched for. The Royals, when they were really bad, like 100 loss bad. He had that one stint with the Milwaukee Brewers, and then was gone to the Angels. Then he went to the Dodgers. Then he's been with the Diamondbacks the last couple of years. He has never pitched in a World Series. He was with the Dodgers before this run of back-to-back pennants. And you'd think, joining the Houston Astros, oh yeah, all right, now I got some juice. Yeah, it's really fun, but it's kind of boring. I don't know what to do. Could you imagine being in a ballpark with 41,000 screaming fans? Your offense putting up crooked numbers each inning, and you thinking, and you're the pitcher, the starting pitcher, and that it's kind of boring?
Yeah, it was a big crowd.
He's amazing. He's amazing in every way, shape, and form. And I want the Astros to win the World Series just to hear him in the post-game locker room. They're dumping beer on my head. Yeah, this is really fun. That champagne. Everyone's going crazy. I mean, it'll be a little boring tomorrow night, but tonight it's kind of fun.
My family had a good time.
We need Zach Greinke in a locker room celebration. I need to hear how excited he can be, because if this is like an 8, what's a 10 for Greinke? Does his voice crack a little bit? Maybe a little bit or none at all? Senor Pant Lake tweets, here's a picture of DA after taking a snap from Huge Freeze. The pictures of Two-Face from Batman. The Silver Fox tweets, Mraz looks like he already had Robbie under center and it blew up in his face.
That's not nice.
I think it's about the scar.
I know, but those marks are clearly from a sign, not from Robbie blowing up in my face.
So it sounds like Major League Baseball is going to actually do something kind of cool here. The Yankees and White Sox next season, August 2020, will play a game at the Field of Dreams Stadium in Iowa. Now, the Field of Dreams Stadium seats like 40. I know there was that huge string of cars dotting the landscape and the final scenes of the credits roll. But I don't know where they all sat, because there's only 2 small bleachers, like for my little league. Now, the first part is that, remember, Field of Dreams is about the 1919 White Sox, the Black Sox. So for the White Sox to play at Field of Dreams is pretty cool. And for the Yankees to be part of this, obviously the premier franchise in Major League Baseball, the most tradition, is pretty cool as well. And I like this idea. I love Field of Dreams. It's a wonderful baseball movie, and I honestly think this is one of those really cool ideas that it's kind of shocking that baseball thought of.
People will come, Ray.
You know, for baseball, they oftentimes can't get out of their own way. They don't know how to really market the game. And this, yeah, it's a little gimmicky. Well, it's a lot gimmicky. But I actually like this idea, because I love Field of Dreams, the cornfield. And for the White Sox and Yankees to be playing in August, it just feels right. A hot, humid summer day in the Iowa cornfields. Let's see how it works. And my guess is that baseball kind of wants to see if this can be a bit of a stadium classic, outdoors game type thing for baseball, the way that hockey has monetized and made a big deal out of its New Year's Day game. Now, of course, you can't fit 100,000 people into an Iowa cornfield. And it's not going to be exactly the same kind of visual as an entire stadium watching outdoor hockey and the tradition of that. But there's something about this that would make me watch. You know, hitting a home run into a cornfield sounds pretty cool. If Aaron Judge gets up and there's a cornfield behind him, I'm kind of in. And they will broadcast this on Fox. Now, there's only one issue here. And that is that they had a rendering, and it's going to be a temporary ballpark. And when I heard that, it sounded like they were going to add kind of huge temporary bleachers to make it capacity 8,000 to the existing ballpark, the existing Field of Dreams stadium. And yes, they kept that Field of Dreams ballpark up for visitors and tourists to go drive by. I don't know if they play anything there, but apparently, in the renderings, it looks like it's not the same stadium that they built for Field of Dreams. It's going to be on the other side of the cornfield and a totally different stadium. And it's going to be temporary, I guess, but that's how they're going to get 8,000 people in there and have a facility, I guess, where you can broadcast from it. So it looks like you'll be able to walk from the original cornfield stadium, ballpark, field, really, through, there's going to be a walkway through the corn into center field. So the two center fields are going to be connected to get to the one that they'll play in 8,000-seat capacity, Yankees and White Sox. What do we think? Does this take away some of the shine?
Yes. Why even play it there? At that point, you might as well just take corn and put them in the Yankee Stadium bleachers and say you're playing at Field of Dreams and just have 40,000 there. Makes no sense.
So you think that they have to play in the original field?
Yes. And by the way, who cares if only 30 people can get in the park? You put up a little beer pong table behind the plate. You throw Buck and Smoltz back there. Let's have some fun. Who cares?
A beer pong table? How does that factor into this?
I'm saying for a broadcast booth. Get the White Sox announcers.
They're called folding tables.
Okay.
All right. Put the folding tables back there. Do it like a college would. And if you got 40 people in each bleacher down the line, if you keep adding, you could add a couple of those temporary bleachers. Who cares if it's not 8,000? Who cares if it's only 100 people? Make it a cool, intimate setting like that, and people will watch, Ray. People will definitely watch.
It's only $20 per person. They'll pass over the money without even thinking about it.
Bogus, do they lose some of the shine on this by building a completely different ballpark on the other side of the cornfield?
No, because I'm guessing the visual of everybody walking through that path into the center field of the new stadium is going to look pretty cool. I mean, they couldn't have played. My guess is the entire area is not big enough where the original field was to build out and make it what it is. And they also might not be able to touch it, too. That might be some weird, like, historical landmark thing that they can't do anything to. They can't ruin the Field of Dreams field. If they did that by building all around it and making it major league ready, they'd look like idiots after the fact. It had to be a separate area.
I think they had to build dugouts,
right?
Like full dugouts and full...
Why have them sit on a bench? Why do they need a dugout? Why? You can plug in an oscillating fan. I mean, if it's one night, guys, you play 161 other games at big clubhouses. Let them go get changed in the freaking kitchen at the house. What are we doing here?
Are you eating?
Yeah, you couldn't even wait till the break to finish eating?
Sorry, I saw 4 Cheez-Its left in my bag. I had to polish them off. Bottom line is this is so stupid. We're so catering these players. It's one night. You get to play in the Field of Dreams. It's a privilege. You don't need a big fancy dugout. You have the stupid wooden bench. You have the bleachers. You bring maybe a couple family members there to watch. We put this on Fox. We put Buck there. We put Smoltz there. They call from a beer pong table. Everybody has a good night. Enough. You don't have to make $50 on concessions that night, Major League Baseball. Stop doing the wrong thing.
Have reserved seats somewhere along one of the baselines.
Weren't you the one that wanted baseball players to wear tank tops and shorts?
Yeah.
Yes, because I want them to be comfortable all the time. One night they could be uncomfortable. If you made them wear tank tops and shorts, I'd be fine with one night going back to the old school uniforms. I think you agree with me here. If you have a Field of Dreams, have a Field of Dreams, and stop worrying about damn amenities. Everything in these stadiums, amenities, suites here, suites there. They're planting corn for once. Just let them sit there for one night, have a good time.
They're planting corn for once. Finally, they're planting some corn.
As they've been begging. Give me shorts. Oh. Give me corn.
I got to see. I want to see the same field that Shoeless Joe was on. That's what I want to see. Let's go.
Ray, when the bank opens in the morning, they'll foreclose.
I'm just laughing at the idea of plugging in an oscillating fan for Aaron Judge.
Right. You got extension cords. Come on. We need to have the heated benches or the air conditioning. I mean, enough.
Thank God they're playing in corn.
Yeah, I want to see them on the field where the actor portraying Shoeless Joe Jackson stood.
I kind of think I'm with Mraz in that I want to see them on the actual Field of Dreams field, but I just don't think that that's practical because there's a giant farmhouse right on it.
That's what makes it cool. It is practical. It's a baseball game. It's still at its core. It's a baseball game. Could we go there with gloves and 9 people play baseball there today if we wanted to? Probably. So just have them go out there and play baseball. It's still in its purest form at a classic site. Don't fake make a site then they're not playing a Field of Dreams. It's a travesty. All because what players need to be taken care of with the little air conditioning. And we need to have, enough people eating $7 pretzels. Stop it. Nonsense.
You're broke, Ray. You sell now or you lose everything.
Aaron Judge.
Is it possible?
Getting higgy with it.
Is it possible that this game wouldn't qualify as a regular season game because there's no outfield fence? I mean, if you played on the original baseball diamond, a home run is just into the corn.
Right.
And they play games in Tampa where balls bounce off catwalks. We can make some ground rules here. I mean, jeez.
But I mean, honestly, do you want... Do you want Aaron Hicks playing?
Yeah, do you, the next playing? Morning, Aaron Judge tears an ACL running into a corn stalk, and you're crying about them playing on a misfit field. How could they do that and ruin my Yankees?
No, timeout. You give them Wednesday off, and they go out there, and they have a practice day, and they get a feel for the field, and they know not to run crazy. But how great would it be a leap and catch over corn? You fall into the maze? It's great.
That's baseball.
Fall into the maze. Now it's a corn maze. Yeah.
Is it the other name for corn maze?
Oh, okay. Got it.
I could just imagine John and Susan during this whole thing.
And you know, Susan, corn oil is used in a lot of different baking activities.
Oh.
2-1.
Ow.
Yankees win. The Yank. Ow. I hit my arm. Oh. Yankees win.
John, what did the Black Sox do?
Well, Susan, let's go back to the 1919 World Series. You see, at that time,
there.
You see, at that time, Susan.
Well, it'd be a 2-2-2-2.
He was interning for the game day staff in 1999.
All right. When we come back, we've got the story that did not make the cut and your epic fail, as we could not get Dan Shaughnessy on the line no matter how hard we tried. DA, CBS Sports Radio, he was calling in from a cornfield.
This year like last year, the best is right here on CBS.
It's the DA Show on CBS Sports Radio.
44 minutes past the hour, the DA Show is on social media. Hit me up on Twitter, DA on CBS. On Facebook, facebook.com/TheDA Show. Watch clips of the show on YouTube every single day. And you can follow me on Instagram as well, at Damon Amendo. Heading up to Saratoga for my annual trip to the horse track. So you can check out behind the scenes of one of the most historic places to watch horse racing in the country, Saratoga Racetrack in Saratoga Springs, New York. This weekend I'll be up there this weekend. So check it out at Damon Amendo. As always, our toll-free line is brought to you by our friends over at Geico. Great news. There's a quick way you could save money switching to Geico. Go to geico.com, and in 15 minutes, you could save 15% or more on car insurance. Hemsky in Tucson tweets, DA, when Mraz told you in Bogus that he saw the last four Cheez-Its and had to polish them off, there is no way he is losing 100 pounds before baby Mraz's first birthday. Joshua tweets, Mraz sounds like Joe Pesci going off on Billy Bats, ranting about the Field of Dreams. Pound some more Cheez-Its and calm down, dude.
I'm all out.
Jonathan tweets, let Mraz call the game in the cornfield. Hashtag, it clears it!
It clears it! Center field, it clears it!
Phil in Dallas tweets, better yet, just have them play at Yankee Stadium, but put corn in the outfield, like K-O-R-N. Aaron Judge can sing Freak on a Leash.
Aaron Judge.
Drenzito tweets, DA, I have to agree with Mraz on this. He's so right about these clowns. They can just deal with the nostalgia of the field and experience. Come on.
It clears it.
Jonathan tweets, I wonder what John Sterling's actual thoughts are on the cornfield. Why isn't he booked to come on the show already? This needs to happen. Maybe Sterling next week on the show to talk about the cornfield game?
Is that right? We want to do? I don't think Sterling's ever been on the DA show.
He has not.
Look, if we want to make a Sterling happen talking cornfields, maybe we can make it happen.
I think that's a good target for next week. Let's get to the stories that did not make the cut.
These stories were left out by the selection committee. Cut from their high school team. The news that didn't make the show. It's the Cut Line.
Uh-oh, another day, another Bosa injury. This time it's Nick Bosa, Niners rookie defensive end, with a significant ankle sprain. He will not play in the preseason, GM John Lynch said today on KNBR Radio, our affiliate in the Bay Area. Bosa, who is the number two overall pick this year, quote, it's a significant ankle sprain. There's that dreaded high ankle sprain. Luckily, he doesn't have a full-blown one, but it has some components of that. As for timing, I'm comfortable saying, and a lot of this is going to happen here with kind of a follow-up today, they've got scans to do. It's safe to say we won't see him in the preseason, and then we're going to be very, very prudent. End of quote. Their dad, John Bosa was a high draft pick of the Miami Dolphins that was injured so much in his career he had to retire early. Joey Bosa for the Chargers, when he's on the field, is great, but the problem is he can't stay on the field. Nick Bosa missed all except three games last year for Ohio State with a core injury. Some of that was precaution, but again, was an injury to a Bosa. And now he has not played one preseason game for his new team and has already had a high ankle sprain and out for the preseason. You want to start worrying about Bosa's and injuries? Yeah, that's a legitimate concern.
So sorry, you've been cut.
Thank you. Goodbye.
And this morning, the Cleveland Browns have traded running back Duke Johnson to the Houston Texans. In return, they get a conditional fourth-round draft pick next year. It could become a third-round selection. Remember that Duke Johnson said that he wanted a trade. He has fallen behind Nick Chubb of the depth chart, and they had signed Kareem Hunt away from the Chiefs. And so maybe not a lot of snaps coming the way of Duke Johnson. This was when Baker Mayfield basically said, look, you don't want to be here, don't be here. So the Browns got a fourth rounder, could be a third rounder for him. And for the Texans, I think it's a good deal. That's not a lot to give up. Goes to show you that at this point in time, a good young running back might only cost you a middle round draft pick. For the Texans, I like it. For the Browns, I would have tried to get more. Maybe there was not more. I think the Browns have to watch out because the depth of running back could be a spot where they needed Duke Johnson this year. But it just depends on how badly he wanted out, and perhaps behind the scenes he wanted out so that they had to get rid of him. But I think mostly for the Texans, I like getting Duke Johnson for a fourth-round pick or at worst a third-round pick.
So sorry, you've been cut.
Thank you. Goodbye.
All right, that is your cut line, the stories that did not make the cut. Let's get to your epic fail of the morning. We had Dan Shaughnessy, Boston Globe columnist, on the show this morning, and I wanted to talk to him about the story of Tom Brady's potential impending retirement after the season, selling his mansion in Brookline, just outside of Boston. And the one thing is, to ask and answer the question, you got to be on the phone. And that was the problem that we were having.
Even the DA show is not perfect. We know. Shocking. Here's the epic fail.
Do you view that in any way as an indicator of Brady's, the end of his career? Unbelievable question. Totally blew Dan Shaughnessy away. Knocked him over in his car. Zapped him. Dan Shaughnessy is back with us now. Do you think that Brady putting his house on the market speaks to any part of the end of his career? Another shot at it. Okay, it's now 0-2.
30 days has September. That's what I have to do, April, June, and November. So,
okay, I'm sitting there with the bat on my hands, my bat on my shoulder, and I'm taking a timeout. And I'm stepping out of the batter's box here. I need to catch my breath here. I just had two fastballs blow right by me.
Have to adjust the gloves.
I have to adjust the gloves. I'm doing a Nomar thing right now.
Touch you up. Know, that reminds me of something. Boy, am I glad you did it, because I don't write anything down.
I'm adjusting my gloves. I'm putting back on a little bit of the wristbands. Hold my hand up. Hang on. Not quite ready. Oh, here comes a plane overhead. I got to wait for the plane to go overhead. Okay. Now, wait. I'm telling the ump, hey, ump.
The right-hand hitter from Colorado. Just lost his name. Is that terrible?
Can you see, is that a reflector in center field? Seems like something shiny out there. Can you have one of the line judges go out there and make sure that fan seems a little distracting. Okay. Oh, okay. 0-2.
Dust off the plate.
I'm going to dust it. I'm dusting off. Hey, ump. I can't see the edges. I can't see the corners of the plate. All right, Dan Shaughnessy is back on the mound. It's 0-2 right now. Dan, do you think Tom putting his house up for sale is any indicator of him planning to retire?
Well, I think...
So sorry, you've been cut.
Thank you. Goodbye.
Epic fail, you loser.
That is why you fail.
Epic.
can't fail.
We finally got Dan to answer the question. Dixieland Dan tweets, the best part about John and Susan in this cornfield game would be if any Yankee hit a home run into the corn and listening to John's new home run call. Stanton hits it high. It is far. It is gone into the corn. Jean Cornholio, the great Cornholio. He hits it with a giant stalk of his own, Susan.
That's baseball.
And you know.
It is.
Susan, have you ever used those two things that you put in the side of the corn on the cob to eat it so that your hands don't get too buttery? The 2-2 to Gardner is low. It's 3-2. What do you mean, John? There's something to eat corn with if you just put it on the sides? And you know, Susan, sometimes you put too much butter on the corn and you don't want your fingers to get soiled. The 3-2 swung on chop bell.
Yeah. You're really good.
Count remains full. I really like corn, John. I really, really like corn. Well, you should really try putting the things on the sides of the corn on the cob because it really does make the experience more enjoyable. Thanks to Sean Mraz, executive producer of the DA Show. Thanks to Pete the Body Malotti on the Wheels of Steel. Thanks to Andrew Kaplan, the genius at WatchDA.com. And thanks to Andrew Bogish on your headlines. I'm off tomorrow. I will see you on Monday. Be good and be good to one another. I'm DA, and the mothership disconnects.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.